Hi, patrons. Hey, I think today is the day where Sarah is in LA.
Yeah.
And things seem to be knock on wooding.
And you can hear me.
We can hear her. Scott's here.
You can see me.
Yeah. We've got a load of good Google news to talk about.
It's true.
I'm just feeling groovy. That's all.
I like watching you raise and lower there for a second. Do that again. That was fun. Oh, look at this.
How do you do
that? That's not
Tom?
Even technology, Scott. That's just me crouching at the knee.
Got to get your squats in.
Yeah. Doing a little.
Now, for any patron who has asked to see my cats, I've got Sam. He's in a real snit today.
Oh, so yeah.
We have a better than average chance that he'll get onto the furry chair and start howling.
I got an angry email about Sawyer barking during one of the shows, so he's not allowed down here anymore.
Wait, an angry email on the show? Oh, from a listener.
From a listener. They're like, not professional. I'm like, you're right. Sawyer was not professional.
I will make sure he out gets into a suit and tie and start the sports.
He has a bow tie.
If my dog barks outside, my neighbor sends us a text that is literally one word, and it's just dog, and that's it. He'll just go, dog, and then we're like, oh, geez. And I'll even say, oh, sorry, man, we just got back. I'm sorry she's out there. I'll get her. It's not even that late. It's like 8 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the problem that the dog is outdoors in your own yard?
He was out and barked for him. And like all it takes is like two barks maybe, and that guy sends a text.
Wow.
Maybe you should send back to him. I know.
There is a woman in my building who shall remain nameless. She's very nice, who has a yappy dog. And who cares, really? She's most of the time it's not an issue, but she walks the dog really early. And I don't care what happens outside, but in our common area, just the way that the apartment building is structured, if the dog is barking in the common area, it's like the dog is barking in my own hallway.
Uh-huh. It's just the acoustics.
Yeah. And even then, it doesn't last very long. Uh-huh. But it often happens before I'm ready to get up in the morning.
Yeah, that's no fun.
Yeah. And we're talking like 5:30 a.m. Like 8. Sarah's not sleeping in.
Yeah. Longtime listeners to the show will have heard the house next door being built in the background of some episodes of Daily Tech News Show, or even Tech News Today, for that matter. There are finally people living in it, like actual human beings who own the house and are occupying it, and they have dogs, which is great. And my neighbor's like, oh, they're even rescue dogs. It's really cool. Their dog sometimes goes outside and barks, which doesn't bother me in the least because I have two dogs that bark in my own face. What's funny is it bothers Ray. As soon as that dog starts barking, Ray texts me, dog. No, Ray will come running up to it and start whining like, what's going on? Why is that dog out there barking? I'm like, the dog just lives next door. It's cool. You'll get used to it.
But Ray was there first and she knows it.
Yeah, that's true. She gets a little whiny about Girly, which is the pit bull that lives behind us. But yeah, this is new. This is like, hold on. It's bad enough that we have Girly back there, but now we got this one too.
Well, you know,
that's a cool name.
It's tough. Yeah. Tough to be a canine.
Yeah, the dog eat dog world out there.
Sure is.
Really is. Really
yeah, my neighbor's previous dog was Lady, and this one's Girly.
Girly and Lady. Great. Next up, Chicky.
Sawyer loves coming down here too. He was down here all morning without me, just chilling. And then I had to kick him out. He glares at me too. He's like,
he knows what's up.
I'll get back at you.
He knows who to blame.
He's probably writing an angry email right now.
Mm-hmm.
Does he like it down there when you're not down there because it's cool? Or
yeah, I think it's like just kind of isolated. It's quieter.
Nice little cave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't come down here as much in the winter, so I think it is the coolness.
Yeah. Too. Well, this morning I went for, speaking of walks, I went for a little walk, you know, just in my neighborhood, and it was slightly chilly to the point where I was like, should have worn a sweatshirt because I was wearing a t-shirt earlier. So it's like, I'm like, it is October, isn't it?
I love that Roger, me, and you are all three in Los Angeles, and we can all three have three different temperatures.
For sure. Although, Tom, you and me we're not
close, but it was not that chilly for me today. So you were close enough that you got a little more chill, it sounds like.
I think I get a little of the ocean that probably dissipates by the time it reaches
yeah,
your
yeah. Home. Probably in the morning, particularly, I would think.
It was in the morning. It was like mid 60s when I woke up.
Yeah, it was cool for me, but it wasn't chilly.
I mean, there's plenty of condensation on the car.
Right,
now it's warmed up pretty well.
It's 63 right now, which is our high today.
I think I'm like it. 70 something.
This could be the one place in time in my life where I can live in shorts and t-shirts the entire year.
Yeah.
Not be affected.
I mean, December through February can occasionally dip down in the 40s. One time, I think, maybe two, it's been in the 30s, but it's pretty rare.
Yeah, like I only got here in December, so I only have that from December to now.
Oh, the other thing is, I jumped in the car this morning to take Ray to the place she goes to work, and this lady just sitting in the road. Eileen's trying to back out. We're both leaving at the same time. She's just sitting in the road, blocking our driveway. Eileen honks, doesn't move. I honk, doesn't move. We both honk, doesn't move. I had to get out of my car and go over and go, lady, just go up the street a little bit. It's the whole street here, and we're trying to get out of our driveway.
Yeah, keep moving.
Did she move or did she?
She just looked flustered. Oh, and then she slowly moved, like she didn't know where else to go.
Oh,
you know, with self-driving cars, that won't be an issue. Yeah. The car will know, like, out of the way.
Unless the AI is faulty.
Yeah.
Yeah, AI was parked in front of my driveway. I could not convince it.
You gotta watch out for that faulty AI, man. Get you.
Well, the shipment didn't come before the show today. And of course, I was in San Francisco yesterday, so I missed it completely. But all my lights are coming.
Oh, good.
So, you know, unless there's some catastrophic issue, which there might be, I'll have it all set up for tomorrow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's going to be jam-packed again.
I'm excited. Yeah. Well, the ring lights that... You know, apparently all the YouTubers are using.
That's all the rage.
It's just to illuminate your face nicely. Because right now I'm using my light nightstands, and that's... Mm.
You can always tell when they use the ring light, though, because they put it too close, and you can see the reflection in their eyeball, because there will be like a little lit donut ring
in it. It's funny because when you read, you know, if you go to the manufacturer's website, they say that that's a plus, because it makes your eyes sparkle.
Is that
that's some good spin right there.
Isn't that nice?
I like that.
I guess it just depends on what you're going for. But yeah, with any luck, it won't be an issue because I'm kind of going to, I don't know, put it back and up a little bit.
Let's see. Rundown wise, Scott is fine with saying Silicon Slopes. I checked.
Yeah, totally fine.
Silicon Slopes.
We have a lot of tech stuff out here, so it fits.
That was a test, and I'm not sure if you passed or not, to be honest.
we all failed. We'll fail
in headlines. So in the fast bits at the top, and we're moving super fast through those today, especially because we have all the Google news. I end on me, which I used to then start the next story on me because it's kind of a different section. But this time I'm starting the next story with you, Sarah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay, good.
All good.
That to throw anybody off.
Do you want me to tee it up with Hear More Top Stories, or would you like to do that? Or do you care?
I don't even know. I hadn't thought about it. Add the finger starting. I think it's better if you do it because then it feels more like a transition.
Okay, I will.
Put your little, they're not little, they're capital letter initials next to them.
They're so small.
They're so tiny. Then we have Tech Travel Minute. We got two emails.
So funny. A lot of people who are, you know, they're either sort of casual followers of my goings-ons or friends or whatever. I liked your daily tech appearance. That's cool. When are you going to do that again?
You're like, tomorrow?
Like,
tomorrow,
every day.
Every day.
Every day
a friend of mine this morning was like, even Saturday and Sunday? I'm like, no, I mean, gosh, guys. No?
I've had people say,
alive here.
You know, you're not really daily.
Okay, I'm not daily. I guess that was just
you caught me. That's what DTNS Labs will do. It'll make us actually daily.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all good. No, there are a couple of folks that are, they're interested in the stuff that I do, and they're also interested in tech.
Oh, good.
I just didn't really have anything to give them that was so regular for some time now. And, a few of them are like, oh, I love Daily Tech Nation.
That's great.
So, yeah.
I like hearing that.
Yeah. I mean, lots of people like the show, but it's like, these are folks who are like, they're truly sort of new to the kind of podcast tech genre thing.
That's great. I love bringing in new peeps. Yeah. I feel like we're getting more emails from new peeps too.
Good. I also noticed that, we can talk about that later.
I'll need control when you get a chance.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, you're right. You will.
Give that man control.
Does it have to do with my hairline? Is that what you're going to?
You know, there's a spray that I've seen Brian Cooley use once in a while. I won't let in on this secret.
I don't know if he uses that anymore. That was 10 years ago.
I remember. It's like, wait a minute. What is he doing?
It was like, it's basically the same kind of spray that you spray on something shiny to make it matte, except for your head. Yeah. Sarah's green screen is back to normal. Yes. Well, folks, I don't know what you've been told. We're about to do.
I don't know what you've been told. Never slow down. Aw.
Never grow old.
I sing Penny Lane every time I think of Sarah.
You aren't the only one.
Yeah, I'm sure that's nothing new for you.
A lot of Pennies and a lot of Lois's.
Mm. Oh, yeah, Lois Lane, duh.
I think Sarah Smile, Hall & Oates.
No, that's not bad.
That's Sarah without an H, so it doesn't count.
Oh, right. I keep forgetting that. I keep making that mistake.
I pretend that bothers me more than it does.
Nobody does it.
Oh, no.
It's just a thing.
Don't
it's
believe
just
her,
because,
folks.
You know, all the Fleetwood Mac Sarah songs also no H, because I think, like, someone's daughter, you know, that's just how they spelled it. And, so I'm like, what is the deal? Sarah by Starship, no H.
Yep. Mm. How about Nobody Doesn't Like Sarah Lane? But Sarah Lee normally.
Also no H.
No H. Ah.
Nobody does it like Sarah Lane.
Also, I mean, you know how like the Berenstain Bears, there's that whole like everyone remembers it the wrong way type thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Sarah Lee, very similar, because it's like Nobody Does It Like Sarah Lee is a better slogan than the real one, which is Nobody Doesn't Like.
I know, Sarah. I know.
Oh, yeah, no, that's what I thought it was.
No, you said it right, Scott. I was doing the wrong one.
Yeah, it's a Mandela effect thing. It's always fun to find those.
It's like when Sinbad was in that one movie.
Yeah, the Which Sinbad one? Was supposed to be in a Genie in the Bottle movie, right? And it never happened.
All right, we are ready to go. Are you ready to go?
So ready.
I'm ready.
Ready, check. Here we go. 3, 2. Daily Tech News Show is powered by you. Yes, you're doing it right now. If you'd like to find out how, go to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Wednesday, October 4th, 2017. I'm Tom Merritt from our DTNS headquarters in Los Angeles.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
And from the Silicon Slopes of Salt Lake City, I'm Scott Johnson.
I got you to say Silicon Slopes. I'm so happy. Of course, DTNS producer Roger Chang here as well. Roger, how are you feeling?
I am feeling well, the talking webpage.
Well, then let's start with a few tech things you should know. The European Commission says Ireland has failed to collect up to 13 billion euros in taxes from Apple and therefore has referred the case to the European Court of Justice. Ireland says, we're appealing that decision. What are you doing? Meanwhile, in Luxembourg, the EC says Amazon got illegal tax benefits worth 250 million euros while current European President Juncker was in charge of Luxembourg.
And better news, at least if you have a Sonos speaker or want to buy a new one, the company has announced it's going to support Amazon Voice Services, a.k.a. Alexa, on the new Sonos One speaker. And available to the public now, though it is still in beta. Now, if you have an older Sonos model, you're still going to need to control it by another device like the Echo, because older models don't have integrated microphones.
Well, DeepMind, who's always watching us, announced the formation of DeepMind Ethics and Society, or DMES, DMES. I don't know if they want to say it that way, to study and publish research on topics like AI bias, the economic impact of automation, making sure AI shares our ethical and moral values, and so on. Sounds like that episode of Star Trek Destiny, Tom.
What are our ethics and moral values that we would like them to share? I think is a good question, too. HP announced a new Spectre 13 laptop. It's new and improved, so it's got a 4K touchscreen now. That's kind of cool, as well as Intel's 8th-gen Kaby Lake processors, starting at $1,299 October 29th. HP also updated the 13-inch Spectre X360 hybrid. It adds a fingerprint reader starting at $1,149 October 29th as well.
Well, would you like to hear some more top stories?
I would love that.
Good, because I've got some. Yay. In fact, we all do. Google announced two new phones today, the Pixel 2 and the 2 XL. Both have OLED displays, Snapdragon 835 processors, 4 gigs of RAM, and lots of other stuff too. Each Pixel also has Active Edge, so you can squeeze them to activate Google Assistant or silence an incoming call. The camera got a 98 for DxO. That beats iPhone's score of 94 and actually sets a new record for quality. So that's something that Google can crow about anyway. The Pixel 2 has a 5-inch screen with a 1080p display, comes in 3 colors, runs $649 for the 64 gig version, $749 for the 128 gig version. The Pixel 2 XL also, well, has a 6-inch screen rather with a 2880 by 1440 display and nice thin bezels for people who are bezel haters. Seems to be a lot of them these days. Available in 2 colors, $849 for the 64 gig version and $949 for the 128 gig version. Pre-orders are open now for Australia, Canada, Germany, India, the UK, and the US, shipping October 17th. On deck for the next round is Singapore, Italy, and Spain. The Pixel phones will also be the first with Google Lens Preview that's coming out later this year.
So Google spent a good 28 minutes before they announced anything this morning. And what they were hammering away at is we are really good at AI. We love the AI and we're building AI into things. And look what AI does. And I think that has to do with the fact that while these Pixel phones are very nice, when you look at all these hardware specs, nothing really jumps out at me as being fantastic. It's on par, you know, in some cases better. Obviously, they've done another great job with the photo, with the camera part of this, because they set the standard with that DxO rating last year with the first Pixel. Then they got beaten a couple of times, most recently by the iPhone and the Samsung Galaxy S8. But now they're back in front. So it takes really good pictures, but it is increasingly becoming what the software can do that is the differentiating factor here.
Well, isn't that kind of where mobile is headed, generally speaking? This is what it feels like on the Apple side as well. They're focusing on AR. They're focusing on applications. They're focusing on what these devices can do for people and less about what the devices themselves are. And that feels like a good maturation point. For mobile, we've had plenty of those points, but I think we're definitely getting into that time where we're saying, all right, what else can we do with these? And Google may be best positioned to answer that question, given all that they've invested and thrown into things like AI and automation and other things. But they've got the back end and sort of the information to make services really matter in a way that I'm not sure Apple's ready for. So pretty excited about the Pixel, but more excited actually about what they talked about around it.
There was also the Google Pixel Book. It's 10 millimeters thick, weighs about a kilogram. That's a couple pounds. With a 12.3-inch, 235 pixel per inch quad HD LCD touchscreen. Has two USB-C ports, and it is the first laptop with Google Assistant built in. It just comes right in. There's also a $99 Pixel Book Pen built in combination with Wacom that has 10 millisecond latency, 60 degrees of angular awareness, and 2,000 levels of pressure sensitivity. The base model Pixel Book has a Core i5 processor, 8 gigs of RAM, and a 128 gig drive for $999. If you up that price to $1,199, you'll get 256 gigabytes of storage. And for $1,649, you get a Core i7 processor, 16 gigs of RAM, and a 512 gigabyte NVMe solid-state drive. You can pre-order today, available in Canada, the UK, and the US, and in 1,000 retail locations starting on October 31st.
So you may have noticed that there's a drawing engine here, everybody, and this piqued my interest. We talked about it a little bit this morning. The specs on that, of that pen, what Wacom says it will do, the pressure sensitivity, all of that stuff stacks up to what's available, generally speaking, on the Wacom standalone devices, other portable solutions. They definitely one up and do better on those specs than the current Surface Pro stuff does. It sounds like it's on par with what the iPad Pro and Pencil are giving people. From an artist perspective, this is very interesting stuff. The big question is app support, and will enough Android or Chrome native apps show up to give artists what they need to do things on the go? That'll be a big question. But I think this is the most exciting the Pixel Chromebook has been to me in a very, very long time.
And it runs all the Android apps. So, you know, a lot of people are forgetting that Chrome OS isn't just Chrome OS anymore. It can run things like the Office version of Android. Now, that's granted not the same as the full version, but, you know, it's not bad.
Yeah, Sarah, you and I are, big Mac OS fans. You want to start lugging around a Pixel and will it do what you need to have done?
It's not that I don't think these specs look great. I've just ordered so much electronic equipment. Some of it I have a very loose knowledge of how to use. So I'm not really going to be investing in a whole lot in general until next year, probably. And that's more about a pocketbook than it is about being not interested. But all of this, especially because depending on what you got to plug into your computer, you know, the connectors now that my MacBook Pro, because I got the MacBook Pro that was new last November, and it's an absolute nightmare, you know, where it's a dongle nightmare. I think this actually looks really nice. If I was in the market, I would take it seriously.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Other Google announcements include this. Google announced the Google Home Mini in coral, chalk, and charcoal. Nice little disc looking, donut looking, pastry looking thing. It's very exciting. For $49, it's on pre-order now in stores October 19th. Google Home Max with smart sound that tries to tune the sound to your room configuration and placement. That's going to cost you $399 with a free year of YouTube Red. That comes in December. And upgraded Daydream View with better lenses. That's cool. Has some front-firing stereo speakers and new cloth coverings for $99. I still say they look like purses that somebody tipped over on their side, but whatever. What else? Google Pixel Buds, Bluetooth headphones, tap to play swipe for volume. Also, the Google Assistant offers real-time translation with Pixel phones. $159 pre-order today. And it bears mentioning that the Pixel Book will have a lot more integration with Google Assistant, which I think is, you know, on par with a device that also runs Android, but also going to be good for people who use Google Assistant outside of their Google Home devices.
Yeah, and that theme of what are these things able to do? What's the software able to do? We're the folks with the AI was really hammered across the product line, not just in the Pixel phone, but they talked about how we only need two mics in our Google Home. Some people need six or seven. They talked about being able to do portrait mode in one lens on the Pixel because of machine learning, because of AI. So there's some impressive stuff. I mean, it is definitely impressive that the Google Pixel Buds can do translation while you're talking to somebody. But here's the thing. The demo they showed had one guy with a Pixel phone that he was hearing the translation from the other person, and then one person wearing the Bluetooth earbuds, or rather the Pixel Buds. You have to be living in the ecosystem for a lot of this stuff to really work well. The promise Google hammered on, and they said this a couple of times, which is you just don't have to think. You just do what's natural and it will do it. And they were trying to say that Google Home is a little better at that stuff than Amazon Echo. And they are. I'll give them that. But you still have to think about stuff. You still have to think, well, wait a minute. Is my calendar integrated with Google Home? Oh, it's not yet. Oh, Spotify's in there. Google Play Music is in there. Oh, but I use Apple Music. Will that work with Google Home? Oh, no, it won't yet. We don't have a seamless system for customers where you can just say to the assistant, do this, and it will always work because everybody's got their silos up.
Yeah. Once again, we've walked into a whole new silo area. We'll probably keep walking into those silo areas. I find that incredibly frustrating in the long haul, but I also really understand it. I totally get it. Like Amazon has a very vested interest in making sure that that's where you stay and that that's where third parties want to tie their wagon. And same with everybody else. Apple may be the worst of them in terms of wanting to lock that stuff down. And they may all provide wonderful experiences within those walls. But I just feel like every time we get a few more steps closer to a little more of an open environment with mobile or whatever it may be, then we just step right back in with this other new emerging market. And it's,
I mean, none of these guys want you to have an open environment. The only time they start playing nice with each other is when they realize that too many customers have gone over to, you know, to whoever the competitor, whatever the competitor is offering, that's either better or for some other reason more popular than what they're offering. I mean, Apple is clearly a comes to mind, but that's just how it's going to be with all these huge companies.
Yeah. The Google Home Max was demonstrated with Spotify because Google knows we don't have enough people using Google Music yet to make, you know, make that compelling. We got to use Spotify. If they ever get YouTube Music or Google Play Music up to speed, believe me, that's going to be in their demo. They're going to want to shove people that way. You don't see Apple using Spotify to demo their stuff. It's always Apple Music. Also, they kept calling it YouTube Music. They had the Google Play Music logo up there, but I have a feeling this thing's going to get renamed. I think Google Play Music is a name's going
on. That actually brings up a point I just wanted to throw out there real quick. And to me, you just exemplified it with your description. I believe I agree with everything you say, but they've got a branding problem with their some of their services. And they fixed some of that stuff over time. The Google Play move was a good one back in the day. But Google Music, YouTube Red, the various combinations of these music services derived from various corners of Google and or YouTube or whatever is very confusing. I can tell you right now that most people I know are just like, well, I know Spotify or I know Apple Music because those are concise products that they either subscribe to or they don't. And this other thing sounds like, well, I don't know which of the four you're telling me about I should subscribe to. I think that's hurting them. So maybe they are going to do that, and that'd be great. Consolidate.
And then finally, there was the surprise announcement of Google Clips, which uses some AI to automatically photograph moments, only takes pictures of faces and pets that it knows. So you do some work with it to say, this is my family, these are my pets, take pictures of them when you see it come into view. It's so that you can just set it down and play with the baby or play with the dog and then go back and pull pictures out later. It can export those as video or photo. It can even do animated GIFs over Wi-Fi. It only exports them when you tell it to. It's not surveillance camera. It's not automatically streaming. Has a 12 megapixel sensor, 130 degree field of view. Takes photos at 15 frames per second. Has 8 gigabytes of internal memory. And it works not only just with Pixel phones, speaking of silos, but the iPhone 8 and 8 Plus and the Samsung Galaxy S7 and S8. Clips is expensive, though. $249 for this little thing.
I mean, call me crazy, but that doesn't sound that expensive to me. If this actually works out nicely, and yeah, you know, you mentioned like babies and pets, and if you're going to be using this on a regular basis and it works really well and the quality sounds pretty nice, it doesn't sound that expensive to me. Am I crazy?
I mean, no, anybody who's tried to get a baby and or a pet to pose is...
I totally can see how this is compelling, having baby but no pet with my smartphone. If it broadens out support to additional phones or ecosystems, and you can train it to not just see your pets, your family members, but oh look, motion at your front door, you should probably take a picture kind of thing. I can see this being kind of, I don't want to say hacked, but kind of used in a non-traditional way. Because the first thing I thought when I saw it was, it really looks like a body cam. It'd be great if it could automatically start recording kind of any interaction I had if I were a delivery person or whatever. Just
I think you guys are forgetting that this is like Google Glass 2.0 for me. The guy who shows up at Thanksgiving family reunion is going to be the least popular person there with this hanging around his neck. It's going to be annoying to see that thing, not knowing when it's taking pictures.
Well, no, it has an LED light on the front so that everybody knows every time it's taking a picture.
Oh, I'm telling you, man. I'm just.
Well, it's not even that it's like a stealth thing. It's more that like Uncle Ernest after Thanksgiving is going to send you like 7,000 pictures of you over the course of 2 hours because his camera knew you and you're like, thanks.
I'm not sure how well it's going to be able to work in non-traditional, not intended situations, because you have to train it what to look for. So it's not going to work with strangers because you have to tell it, look for this person, look for this baby, look for that a grandpa, take pictures of them.
You know what? Take pictures of people who don't look like my family.
I don't think it works that way, but
I think if you've got a nosy neighbor that you just, you never want her to come over, you know, you take one picture, pretend you guys are friends, tell Google Clips. Anytime she comes to the door, absolutely not. And then maybe you've got something. It's maybe sort of to Roger's point. Like you can kind of hack it to your advantage.
I think you made it work. You're right.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. You can get it as a podcast on the Amazon Echo, on the Anchor app, and through Anchor on Google Home. And that's a look at our top stories. All right. So yesterday, many of you know from watching the morning stream or maybe just seeing it on Twitter, Scott Johnson was one of the people who fell victim to a breach at the server of his domain name registrar. And essentially what happened, if I have it right, the basics are they got into the server, were able to access several accounts, and you were the unlucky person that they got to first before the domain name registrar shut them down. And because they were able to just have a few seconds in your account, they were able to forward email on that domain name that you had set up to their own address and got a hold of your Twitter account.
Basically, that is correct. And it was within about a span of 15, 20 seconds that this breach occurred. It was within that time that they added the second email address to my domain forwarding record. That meant anytime I would get an email to the one I have there, they would also get one. They get a copy of anything I got. So what that meant was not such a big deal in terms of what email they got, because it's all spam and stuff I don't care that much about in this particular account. But what they do get is any kind of resets on any accounts I have for password resets or checking on usernames I don't remember or whatever. And I'm a pretty locked down guy. For the most part, I have two-factor authentication on just about every service I use, everything from stuff as simple as gaming all the way up to banking and everything in between. And I thought I had Twitter on the same lockdown. It's probably worth using what I just said as a warning to people who think that maybe they did it too, but now they're not sure. You may think you did it because at one point they had you verify your phone number. And if you did that, you may think that what you were doing was yet another two-factor authentication, text-based something. Turns out you weren't. You were just verifying a phone number. It helps them verify who you are. You become a verified user that way in a lot more cases, but it doesn't do anything for two-factor. I thought I had two-factor. I didn't. The story would kind of end here because the registrar was on it. They saw what happened. They sealed it. They shut down the accounts affected and then only reopened them after full reports and all the logs have been gone through and everything else. So they did a great job on their part. None of this was their fault necessarily, except for this exploit, which they now patched. Wasn't my fault, except I didn't have two-factor on Twitter. They had enough time in that 20 seconds to change the address, to request a password reset, and then get the password changed, and then change the email, because now they're in. They can just change the email, and now my email's not even on my account before the server got shut down and there was anything we could do. That resulted in a full day of back and forth with me trying to get a hold of Twitter, being a little stressed out because he spent the entire, I say he, it could have been a group, could have been a bot, I don't know, but spent a lot of time in my DMs talking to friends and followers asking for credit card information.
And how specifically, I mean, if he or she or they had just been like, give me your credit card information, most people would be like, no way. So what was the social engineering strategy?
Well, that was interesting because this is where it got really creepy, I thought, because some people immediately saw something was wrong because they knew I would never ask what I was asking. In a couple of cases, they'd get as far as saying, well, can I contact you? And we can talk about it on the phone instead of here. And they would say, oh, my phone's down, but here's this other number. And then that would be of a totally different area code. And they say, oh, all right, well, then you're not real because why would I call that? But even Patrick Beja called me yesterday just to make sure because he wasn't sure what was going on. And wanted to help. And that was my worries that people would want to help. But here's how they did it. We had one person say, well, if you're really Scott, they weren't believing it. And they were using good natural language, by the way, this hacker. So it didn't seem that far off, except for what he was asking. He says, if you're really Scott, please tell me 3 podcasts you produce a week.
That's easily found online, though, right? Anybody can look that up.
Back with Morning Stream, Current Geek, and The Instance immediately. And that made this person still not believe him, but I thought, oof, near miss, because a lot of people would just buy that. So obviously they did their homework. They knew who I was. They knew a lot of that stuff. The parts I haven't really expressed much is while I'm waiting for all this to get locked down during the day and worrying what they could do with the account, what kind of damage they could do. I also witnessed a couple of real-time attacks of my Slack credentials, which I have on 2-factor, so they couldn't get all the way through on that. They went in so far, and I told Tom this, when they realized I had 2-factor and couldn't do anything, I then got an invite to a new Slack group called scottjohnson.slack.com. And they use words like nerdtacular and all kinds of other stuff in the invite.
Yeah. So really, what they were doing here, and I'm getting some echo from somebody. So what they were doing here went away. Good. Was trying to use your email. There's a couple of lessons to be drawn here. One is your email, if you have password resets connected to it, is a vulnerable place. You need to make sure that is very locked down, because if they can get your email, then they can get your password resets. And it doesn't matter how long and strong your password is, especially if you don't have 2-factor authentication. And that's another lesson here, which is when you have 2-factor authentication, that's another mitigation against this. And it certainly made me go and double check and say, do I have 2-factor authentication on the things that I need to have it on? And so this is a good reminder for everybody. If you think you have 2-factor authentication, go and check. If you think you have your email address locked down and that no one can get into it, and you have 2-factor authentication on that, go and check, because it doesn't matter if you have a strong password, which you should have, if there's another way around it. Another example which you didn't fall vulnerable to here is the so-called security questions, where you can say, well, I forgot my password. What's your mother's maiden name? What town were you born in? What's your favorite song? Kind of stuff that, especially if you're Scott, somebody could look up online, maybe get into an account that way.
Yeah. Also, I mean, I've probably mentioned my favorite song on shows before. Like, I'm in a uniquely bad position where I blurp a lot of stuff out on the air, that any of that stuff is sort of secure. So while this really was nobody's fault, certainly not my fault, not kind of occasionally checking your accounts and going, all right, where am I locked down and where am I not? Or a new service I'm signing up for, take the time to see what kind of security measures they have in place, or if you need to put in place some sort of more overall protection. My password for Twitter was ridiculously long and complex. There's no way they could have guessed it, which is why
they need to. Yeah. Now, what did Twitter do to finally give you back your account?
So that's the part. I think they were going to try to ransom me on Slack. I also should mention I got Facebook, Facebook, Skype, and one other service. I can't remember which one, but I got requests for password resets on all of those. They all had 2-factor, so it didn't matter. Or just went nowhere after that. But they went full force all day to try to get everything I had based on that email address. And how it all turned out in the end is I sort of had to wait for Twitter. They say it takes up to 3 days. It only took them 12 hours, so I guess credit for that. They gave me a new address, or they said they gave me a reset and said, now give us an address you're not currently using, another email address, and we'll replace that. Then you can get in, do the reset again, then 2-factor it down, blah, blah, blah. I did that, but in real time, I don't know how this works, okay, because I'm no hacker or whatever, but in real time, somebody else somewhere else, Saudi Arabia is where all this set came from, was trying to do the same thing again.
Yeah, it's a script. And they're not in Saudi Arabia. They're just putting an IP address there.
Oh, right. It could be spoofed. Who knows where it is? It could be next door for all I know. Yeah. But the point is that by the time I was done, it felt like the end of a 24 episode or something, just Kiefer Sutherland making it through by the skin of his teeth. And I finally got control of my Twitter account again and got it all back up. So the lessons for me are twofold. That email stuff you talked about, dead on. Absolutely make sure that wherever you're hosting it, where your MX records are, whatever it is you're doing, make sure that stuff's as locked down as possible and check on that stuff periodically and don't just set it and forget it. And then the other is check accounts, especially your big social accounts like Twitter. You may have thought you did it and you didn't. So go check and see if you did. And none of this would have been a problem with two factors. So for me, that's the big takeaway. Also, I just have never been faced with this kind of disruption slash personal violation of information thing before. So in a way, I feel like I got a little blunt education yesterday, and I'm going to make the best of it. But hopefully this advice and these, you know, this description will help people listening to the show.
Well, thanks to everybody who does listen to the show and participates in things like our subreddit at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com and our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow. Let's check in with Chris Christensen.
This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler with another Tech in Travel Minute. If you have ever slept on an airport floor, and I have, then this is good news that there are at least four companies that are competing to get into the airport sleep pod business, where you can buy access to a sleep capsule. One of the business problems with this is it makes more money for the airport to put in a restaurant than a bunch of sleep pods. For instance, one seat in an airport restaurant can generate $20,000 in revenue in a single year, according to an article in TravelPulse.com. But for those of us who don't need another McDonald's, in Mexico City, for instance, there are sleep pods that come with a bed, a high-definition TV, a safe, Wi-Fi, and USB charging ports, and can be rented for $8 an hour for a two-hour minimum, or $30 for the entire night. Private showers are available, but cost extra. I'd rather spend my time outside airports, but sometimes when you're stuck, it'd be really nice to have a place to recharge yourself and your devices. I'm Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler.
Thank you, Chris. Let's get to our messages of the day. First one's from Tim, who said, recently you guys have had several discussions about AR devices, and you mentioned AR contact lenses. I was the chief information officer for an AR company for almost 6 years, so I've been involved in lots of discussions about current and future AR tech. People frequently talk about contact lenses being a great option once the tech could be miniaturized, but one thing to keep in mind is people spend up to $20,000 to have a surgery so they don't have to wear contact lenses. I wore contacts until I was about 25 and couldn't wait to get my LASIK surgery. Contacts are uncomfortable, expensive, and require a great deal of maintenance. In order for contacts to become a viable AR platform, they'd have to significantly improve their comfort and care requirements in addition to miniaturizing the augmented reality tech.
Tim is totally right, by the way. I think he's dead on. I mean, as much as I think it'd be cool to miniaturize in that to that degree, people forget what a pain in the butt contacts are and why I don't wear them anymore is that reason. So you'd have to have a very compelling, life-changing reason for me to adopt it.
Got another email from M. Darlene Sensei, who says, I've been listening to the show for a long time. Noticed that there are a lot of teachers who also listen. I'd like to start a professional learning network for teachers who listen to DTNS. I'm currently a technology teacher for a small K-6 parochial school in Massachusetts, always looking for other teachers to collaborate on projects and kick around ideas. So email me if you want to talk tech in schools. Who knows? Maybe we can put together a student segment for DTNS Labs.
And her email address is on the Reddit post she made about this. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. Or you can just go to the subreddit, dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com, to find it. Thank you, Scott Johnson. As always, what you got going on?
Oh, it's a pleasure, Tom. So it was leaked yesterday. I don't know if it was leaked, but it was made obvious yesterday by Blizzard Entertainment that I will be hosting a live panel and show for the instance on Saturday at BlizzCon at the first part of November. So if you're going to BlizzCon, come and see us. It's up on the schedule now. I believe it's 3 p.m. that afternoon. We'll be up on stage and on DirecTV for those who are not at the event, and you can watch that as well.
So wait, the instance will be on DirecTV.
The instance will be on DirecTV. Right. Yeah. Our ugly faces, some awesome guests from Blizzard. We're still working on who, but all of that stuff, which I can talk about in full soon, will be happening. But as it stands right now, you're definitely getting us on stage and you're definitely going to see us on TV. And we're all definitely a little nervous about it, but we're excited and stoked. So if you're going to BlizzCon, do check that out. That schedule's up at blizzcon.com. For everything else, follow me on my recently reacquired Twitter account, at Scott Johnson, or find me on the web at frogpants.com.
Excellent. Big thanks to everyone who supports this show and makes it possible for us to do it. We'll stop talking about it, but we're super thankful that Sarah Lane's here. And when I say we'll stop talking about it, I mean, it'll just become normal. You know, Sarah's here. Here she is.
Yeah, okay. It won't even be a party anymore. I'll just never leave. Yeah,
it'll be awesome every day. And you're getting free Len Peralta art at a certain level. You're getting a bonus show every month. Everybody's going to get a roundtable show in the final Friday. And if we keep pushing to the next milestone, we'll do two of those every month. So there's all kinds of reasons to still support. And if you haven't started, start supporting us now. Patreon.com/DTNS.
Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We are live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And our website is dailytechnewsshow.com.
Back tomorrow with special guests Nate Langson and Justin Robert Young. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Good work, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun show.
Fun show. Yeah. And we packed the info in.
The timing, everything.
I mean, the hacking content itself was not fun, but it.
No, true.
The silver lining is that there's probably some really good information a lot of people got out of it.
Yeah. I've gotten a load of reports.
Took one for the team there, Scott.
Yeah, a whole bunch of people sending me emails saying that they all went and did two-factor because they heard me talk about it. So if that's all that comes out of this, great. We did our duty.
I didn't talk to you yesterday, but I heard about the incident and I checked a couple of things too. Luckily, I'm in good shape. But I mean, I think sure a lot of people don't really understand two-factor authentication, and that's you just gotta kind of hammer that home and use one password or LastPass and all that stuff. But I think more common really is just missing a service.
Yeah.
You know, you thought you did it.
I've found services where they didn't have two-factor authentication and now they do. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to keep up like, they have 2FA now. I should go do that.
Sure. And it's like, how are they going to let you know that? I mean, at some point, it might be an email newsletter that you already unsubscribed from.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. Or they sent out an alert that you deleted because you didn't read it because you're like, spam. Yeah.
Man, speaking of newsletters, you know how, depending on the site that you're visiting, there are these sort of like boohoo, I see you're using ad blocker. Don't you love us?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're starting to get more and more manipulative. It's like the crappy email newsletter of 2017 where I'm like, ah, okay, you know, I get what you're saying. You're ad supported, but you know, some of them, you know, you start reading them and it's like the verbiage is really,
And it really angers me because I don't use an ad blocker. I use Privacy Badger. Privacy Badger only blocks you if you've got a bunch of stuff that is sharing its data with other sites without my approval. So you're losing your sympathy on me when you go, oh, boo-hoo, you're not letting us track you without your permission.
Right, which is even funnier where you're like, interesting. Yeah. It's just, I got to hear both sides and I understand them. But totally. Some of them have really become very, very heavy-handed.
For the price of a cup of coffee, this reporter.
Yeah.
Could have a salary.
There was one the I won't call out the site, but you know, you might have seen it. It was like, you know what? It seems like you don't like ads, but they're not that bad. It's like, who wrote this?
Yeah.
Like, try to that's get why the service exists to block them. Some people actually think they're really bad.
Your friend. That's what happens. We're your friend.
We have not gotten to titles, and I need a title.
All right. Do androids dream of AI ethics? Sorry, everyone's stuck. Scott's no good. Horrible, very bad day. Scott's fishing trip. Pretty funny.
Does that make Scott laugh?
Yeah. I don't. I mean, it's not really fishing, but no. That's a great quote.
Scott kept calm and carried on. Winter came for Scott Johnson. Google keeps its AI on the ball. Pixel 2 XL Boogaloo.
Oh, you know what we didn't talk about? The Pixel 2 doesn't have a headphone jack.
Oh,
that's true.
Yeah,
we didn't mention it.
It's become so de rigueur for people to get rid of their headphone jack. It's not even a big deal anymore.
It'll be a big deal when someone's stuck somewhere and they, I want to plug my headphones into this.
I actually don't. The headphone jack is like on my iPhone anyway. It's like I've got the little dongle. It's a non-issue. But there is a new dongle that Apple's selling where it's like it's basically like a little like jack hub. So the one thing that is annoying is if you're using, you know, the port and you're talking to somebody using headphones and you want to charge at the same time, it's an issue. So I think I'm going to go ahead and spring for that guy.
I have that one, actually. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think they exist already. It's just like now there's like an official Apple sanctioned one.
Yeah. The one I got is, I think I got it for Intertacular, but I have the MacBook, which is even has less ports on it than the one you got. It's literally got the single USB 3 thing. So now.
That's what I've got too.
All right. So this thing goes out to this kind of hub block where I can go HDMI, USB, another USB-C. And maybe 10 base T, like a network connection. I can't remember.
That's all on a single hub? That's pretty convenient.
It was like 60 bucks. It was a little, I don't know, seemed pricey at the time, but maybe it wasn't.
So the top vote getter for the title, Scott's No Good, Horrible, Very Bad Day.
Wow, really?
Well, it wasn't a very good day, Scott.
No, it wasn't.
Do Androids Dream of AI Ethics? There's one down here. Ecosystem of a Down. Get it?
System of a Down. Yeah, I get it.
Mr. Page, tear down these walls.
Scott kept calm and carried on.
That he did.
Yeah. How calm I was, if I'm being honest. But
you looked calm on TMS because I checked in and I was like, wow, okay. He doesn't look as freaked out as I
held it together okay. By the end of the day, though, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah. This is the dumbest day. And I was just always worried someone was going to screw somebody over, and I didn't want that to happen.
In dumbest day and blackest night, evil beware the Green Lantern.
So Scott kept calm and carried on is my favorite. But what do you guys want?
That's good. Whatever Scott is copacetic with, it's his day.
It's your special day.
Dumbest day and blackest night. I'm trying to remember the Green Lantern name.
Where is that Amazon delivery person? My goodness.
What do you think they would have come during the show?
Yeah, I know. That's usually how it works. Well, so, okay. So if I can go on just a slight, this is a mini rant. It's not a big rant. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, everything that I ever get on Amazon requires my signature. Well, that's not okay. Not everything, because that Blue Icicle Tom came yesterday and it was here when I got back from the airport, and you know, I wasn't here obviously. But you know, I figure like, well, is it a certain price point? But it's not. So it must be like certain third party sellers that Amazon is working with. I don't know what it is. I have bought some sort of pricey items lately, but like some of the electronics I've gotten aren't really pricey. I think that they're just in a category where Amazon's like, you just need a signature.
I wonder if it has to do with third-party sellers. That would make sense to me, actually.
Yeah.
Because the third-party sellers want proof that it got delivered, so you can't... Because you heard about that couple that were trying to scam Amazon by saying everything got damaged or didn't show up right, and they were using a bunch of different addresses.
The whole thing is a little bit messy, and part of it is probably because I usually don't buy that much kind of random one-off stuff from Amazon, but I have lately because I've been kind of putting together the studio and mm-hmm. buying little things. But I did have Amazon for the very first time send, they had tried to send me, it was one of these Scarlett preamps, mm-hmm. and it came and I wasn't here to get it. I had to sign for it. And then the next day it was supposed to be delivered. So I'm waiting around all day. And I finally get, you know, and it's like, we have until 9 p.m. to give it to you. So it's like, okay, I guess I'm not leaving the house. And then at around 8:30 p.m., I got an email saying, well, we're sorry, but the item has been lost. And so I called Amazon customer service and they were like, well, this is unusual. This never happens. I'm like, well, you sent me the email. I mean, never got to me. You told me that it's been lost. So somebody told you that. I don't know. I have really bad Amazon luck. I don't know what the deal is. All of my friends are like, just have them leave it outside your building. But no, doesn't work that way at the Lane residence.
Nope.
And then I thought, does it have to do with like an address where there's enough instances of something being stolen and complaints?
Interesting.
Because I do live down by the beach. If you left a package outside my building, it would be gone in 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
That could be.
You know, that could be part of it, but
Now that you mention it, when I lived in Oakland, I would always have stuff delivered to work because it seemed like everything needed to be signed when I had it delivered to my house and I was never home to sign it and they wouldn't just leave it. Now it's not, I feel like it's not as bad, but I also have a secure place for packages, which I didn't.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't know, half the time when my buzzer rings, it's because UPS is trying to just put a package inside the door for one of my neighbors. Mm. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm usually, I'm happy to help. I know my neighbors for the most part, but this is like you get the person has been inside the building because you get the little notice mm-hmm. inside saying, Sarah, we can't deliver this. We'll try again tomorrow. So anyway, I just want my lights.
Scott kept calm and carried on. Title.
Oh yeah, I've already published the show. It's
sounds fast that way.
Done. D-U-N, done.
Dunzo.
Speaking of, somebody asked, I think it was Beatmaster, before the show, Sarah, how you were able to track down and fix the audio problem from Monday.
Heck if I know.
Well, the one thing I remember is the device manager was muting your mic.
Yeah, but
which we didn't find until after the show.
The original issue that we were having is that I was kind of Cyloning, right?
Yeah.
My mic was kind of coming in and out. So we were like, is it the connection? Doesn't really make a lot of sense because the video seems fine. My mixer, everything on my end looks fine. What we did was we changed the default recording device in Windows 10 from, I don't remember what it was, but it wasn't my mixer. So we changed it to the mixer. And for some reason, that makes no sense and won't make any sense to anyone else either. Once we did that, there was a tab within that sort of recording device settings of your system sounds in Windows 10 that just toggled on the mute.
Yeah, it defaulted to mute.
Yeah, so here we are trying to figure out and I'm like, literally all of my stuff no longer works. Just even when we changed the recording device setting back to whatever it was before, I think it was just default. It didn't fix anything. And so even just before the show, just now, I had to go in and toggle off that mute button because by default now, it just wants to mute me all the time. And I don't mind doing that as long as my mic sounds okay.
Yeah, and it sounded good today.
I don't know what to do. Yeah. But it's still very befuddling. I don't appreciate how my stuff is giving me the runaround. That's for sure.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Well, folks, don't forget tomorrow I'm back with Sarah, Justin, Nate, Roger. Then on Friday, the show is from LA Podfest. We will definitely have an audio show in your feed. There probably won't be a full thing like there is because it's at a conference. But there will be audio. There may not be video, although there may. We're still trying to figure that part out. And then Monday's show will be from London. And it sounds like for sure we'll be able to do maybe even a pre and post show. I don't know about that. But definitely an audio and probably video from there. And then back to normal on Tuesday.
Pond.
Yeah. You go. Hope everybody keeps that in mind. And thank you for hanging around and being with us as we begin this new phase. It's been pretty fantastic to have you all here.
Yeah, it really has.
It really has. We mean that.
And I would say the only thing I wish I could do more of is respond to everybody in our Slack bosses account. DTNS Slack. DTNS bosses. But I do lurk in there a lot. I keep up with everybody because I'm starting to get to know people and recognize usernames and stuff like that. But there's a lot of volume, so it's a good thing. And I like the hive mind aspect of it. But I do get behind really easily.
I like Zoe brings bacon right now. She's like, I'm not across the pond. You're across the pond. Somebody's crossing a pond. That's all I know.
Okay.
Pool, yeah. Pond, pond would be good for you. See you later. Thanks.
Bye.
And patrons, you guys are the best. I'm still kind of stunned that this is all happening and working, and it's because of you. So big hugs.
I just got a Halloween invite for somebody's party in Philadelphia.
All right.
Oh, man.
So there you go, patrons.
I'm pretty sure exclusive Annabelle meant to send it to a different Sarah Lane.
That's because it's Pennsylvania. That's where all the vampires are.